Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We turned off more people than anything else. Like, why show us wrestlers throughout the day while we're watching football? Get us to figure out, like you, Jeffrey, be frustrated and trying to figure out. Imagine being frustrated, figure out a way to watch it, and your way you figured out was you actually paid for the app, then you watched it, and you got a C-rated show.
Yeah,
according to ESPN.
By your own in-house media.
Right. Exactly. So it was not a great start for the WWE relationship from the ESPN side. It doesn't seem like it, but for WWE, sure, whatever. They're doing fine because they're getting the TV contracts. That's what it's about.
Also, Burke Magnus, who is the president of content at ESPN, told Richard Deitch of The Athletic that the goal for Inside the NBA, so the TNT produced Inside the NBA, is to run as long on ESPN as it did during the years on TNT. Quote, it will be as close to that as we can possibly get.
So contradicts their other reports.
Well, so it contradicts the fact that the original, the first broadcast is scheduled for
1 hour.
30 minutes.
It wasn't even an hour.
Right. And so, but I do think more will be like playoff time. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. But before we do that, I want to remind you that Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because you get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. You can even do what I did, which is design a custom-made engagement ring, and it's not as daunting as it sounds. It's risk-free and easy at Robert Irwin Jewelers because they give you peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means that for any reason, if you're unhappy with your custom-made engagement ring, you have a full 365 days to return it at the full purchase price. If you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it. They can make an engagement ring from something as simple as a picture or a drawing or even an idea that you have in your head. Also, at Robert Irwin Jewelers, get free ring sizing for life. Also, check out their free jewelry spa service for life as well. You take it in, and it comes back looking like the day that you bought it. Also, at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. With over four decades of experience in the jewelry business, Robert Irwin Jewelers has become a trusted name known for providing timeless treasures for generations of families. You got all of the locations, including the Bartlett, the South Haven, as well as the Diamond Showroom right there on Perkins Extended. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. When we come back, the list next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurd's going to join the program at the bottom of the hour. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Bruce Pearl. Yeah, according to ESPN's Pete Thamel and Jeff Borzello, Bruce Pearl has stepped down as the men's basketball coach at Auburn and will move into an ambassador's role in the athletic department as a special assistant to the athletics director, the school announced on Monday. Stephen Pearl, Pearl's son, and the Tigers' associate head coach received a five-year contract as the program's new coach. In a statement, it was like a 14-minute video that Bruce did from his office. He said, quote, 11 years ago, I was given the opportunity of a lifetime to become the head basketball coach at Auburn, and it has been nothing short of amazing. With the Auburn family's unwavering support, we've built a program from the ground up and taken it to heights it has never reached before.
Not only have we won the championships, but we've built the best home court advantage in college basketball. We've invested in the community and changed lives, and we've developed and graduated Auburn men. We built a program with the core tenets of faith, family, and passion, and together we made it history. I hope we have made Auburn proud. He also has been linked in his post-coaching career with politics, something that he also addressed during his statement. Quote, many of you know that I thought and prayed about maybe running for the United States Senate, maybe to be the next great senator from the state of Alabama. That would have required leaving Auburn. And instead, the university has given me the opportunity to stay here and be Auburn's senator. So it appears the rumors about him running for office are not part of this. I would also say it's entirely possible that they would be launching a actual campaign rather than just doing it like this. You know what I mean? The party, the state's party may want to get involved and like have a full launch.
Yeah. I mean, so what is so, you know, bonkers about 2025, right? The reason there's a Senate seat open in Alabama is because Tommy Tuberville is now running for
governor.
He's going to run for governor. And there could be a day where an Auburn coach is the governor of Alabama. And it probably will be a day that is the case. But now we've got an Auburn coach. Like, hey, if an Auburn coach can win the Senate seat in Alabama, then Bruce Pearl definitely could talk his way there for sure. I don't think it's a done deal either way, right?
Yeah.
Like he can't be the coach and run, so he's got a – and if he's got a situation where he can get who he wants to replace him before he leaves – is you kind of take that before anything gets messy.
Well, then Stephen, his son, had been rumored for other jobs this offseason, and he didn't really pursue them. So
what a great job for him to get.
It tells you that that's been somewhat in the works. I do think it's interesting to note, while Stephen got announced with a contract, this has kind of been the move of a lot of coaches that are kind of larger-than-life figures, mm-hmm. whereas oftentimes – you know, hey, they want to pick their hand-picked successor. Well, what we've been seeing doing is a lot of these guys like put the team together and then kind of like right before the season starts.
That's the new thing.
They step down. Yeah. Now, the difference is when Tony Bennett did it at Virginia, his successor was given the interim title rather than like Stevens getting announced as the head coach. So I guess that one's a little bit different.
Yeah. But I mean, today is a day that I mean, for the past, when did Calipari leave?
He left the...
He's coming back.
Can't
wait. Just a few Mondays from now, John Calipari will be in Memphis.
The spring of 2009.
So, since then, today is the first day that I'm glad that Memphis did not hire Bruce Pearl. Like, I always thought Bruce Pearl should have been the coach for the University of Memphis. Like, he was the perfect...
He checked a lot of boxes.
Fit. He was the absolute perfect fit for that job. And even you add in the whole, oh, he used to, you know, it'd be the Patino goes to Louisville scenario too. Like, oh, he used to coach at Tennessee and he's coming to Memphis and having more, you know, the Louisville, Kentucky with Patino. Bruce could have done that too. He checked so many boxes, including those extra boxes that most people don't ever check. And he would have been perfect. And since Cal left, always, no matter what would happen, this era, was it Pastner or who? Tubby, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter who the coach was, it was always, man, they just couldn't have timed it right to get Bruce Pearl. I think he would have won a championship at Memphis at this point. He was able to do this with Auburn basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of a – so, obviously, he had success.
He did it at Tennessee, which was earlier, you know, earlier on, and that's actually probably more impressive in a lot of ways.
But, like, the team right now – the team this year – you know, the SEC has...
They have money.
Like, that's kind of the other thing. But Auburn was very good under him when Auburn wasn't part of the SEC being the best basketball league.
The best in the world, which they are. So, no, I'm glad that Memphis never hired Bruce Pearl. It's taken this moment here. It has nothing to do with what he does next. It's the fact that he's leaving.
Yeah.
And his son's got to be the next coach. And we'll see how he does. But I just don't...
I think it helps that he's not leaving for another job.
Oh, it helps Auburn for sure. It would help you for sure that cope with it, that he's not continuing to pursue. How old is he?
So I believe 65. Is that what it said?
He's 65.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I believe that's what it said.
Fred Van Vliet. So, not great news for the Houston Rockets, according to Sham Sharania of ESPN. Houston Rockets' Fred Van Vliet has suffered a torn ACL, according to Shams, a devastating, potentially season-ending loss for the Rockets. Ooh. With their starting point guard and leader. This is already a team that didn't really have a great lead guard scenario to begin with, and now he's done. I'm very fascinated by them because everyone's talked about what a great offseason they've had. I do wonder how much the lack of a lead guard is going to impact them, because I've always wondered when they kept thinking, all right, well, we're not making enough shots, and that's been the problem with our offense. I was wondering, well, how much of it is that you don't have an engine versus you don't have good shooters? And like we see it with the Grizzlies. When Ja's on the floor, the Grizzlies tend to shoot the basketball better. Right. Why? Everybody gets a lot better shots.
Spacing's better.
Correct.
Hold on yards.
This feels like a blow.
Blow for the Rockets.
It definitely, I mean, more than feels like, and I think it is, they don't really have someone fully set for that position. I mean, they would be hoping after last season it would be Reed Sheppard, or Sheppard step into one of those
right
lead guard roles. I mean, other than him, is it Aaron Holiday? But that's quite a drop off from Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah, and then it's like, I mean, I don't know, is it Durant ends up running a lot? But then it's like, how many games do you get of Durant? And Durant's never been Durant's not been like lead guard offense.
No, it's a lot more ISO with him, and it's a lot of him taking the load of the scoring. It does help that they have the athletes that they do. Like, I think Amen Thompson is definitely going to be one of the best young players in the league. Şengün just had a dominant FIBA.
Yeah.
I could see him taking some of that load, but it's not going to be from the guard position, I don't think.
No, I'm with you on that. All right, the Southeastern Conference. All right, Chris Lowe, who is now a part of On3, has gotten an advanced copy of the SEC annual opponents. And while we discussed some of the possibilities last week, Andy Staples of On3 had his graphic out there. We've seen some changes to them, and I think the one thing that kind of stands out is it feels like the league prioritized geography with annual opponents more so than maybe Andy's list had done previously. All right, so we'll start alphabetically with Alabama. No surprise on two of the three. Alabama has Auburn and Tennessee. Their third opponent will be Mississippi State. Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, LSU. So those are three states that Arkansas touches.
Right.
You see, yeah. With Auburn, you have Alabama, Georgia, and Vanderbilt. Florida will have Georgia, South Carolina, and Kentucky.
Mm. This is the one that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you gotta find three for Kentucky. That's the problem. Georgia will have Auburn, Florida, South Carolina.
That's fine. Yeah.
So those are,
yeah,
again,
local.
And states that are contiguous to Georgia.
Yep.
Very, very much geography. Yeah. Geography big here in the Southeastern Conference.
With Kentucky, it will be Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina. For LSU, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. For Mississippi State, you'll have Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Alabama. For Ole Miss, they will have Mississippi State, LSU, and Oklahoma. So I believe Andy's list had South Carolina for Ole Miss. They went with
we
Oklahoma.
We were flip-flopping on that one.
Correct.
We weren't sure if that was going to be...
Correct. We felt pretty good that Ole Miss was going to have LSU and Mississippi State. Yeah. We didn't really know what the third would be, because there had been a lot of...
Oklahoma's kind of the throw in too for a lot of these, because there's no built in rivals.
It's like there's a couple, you know, the Oklahoma and Texas is going to be a part of it, and then
you don't know.
Correct.
Yeah, we're not sure from there.
Correct. So for Oklahoma, they have Missouri, Ole Miss, and Texas. So Missouri reigniting an old Big 8, Big 12 rivalry. Obviously, they were going to keep the Texas rivalry, and you had to figure out a way to make this happen, so Ole Miss becomes their third partner, or their third annual opponent. South Carolina will have Georgia, Florida, and Kentucky. Tennessee will have Alabama, Kentucky, and Vandy. I think if we're trying to name the biggest winners,
Tennessee's the biggest
Tennessee
winner.
Feels like the biggest winner of the annual opponent.
No,
yeah,
no,
that's pretty good.
No question about it. But would they win? They're definitely the biggest winner. It sucks. We're a loser on that we don't get the Florida game in there. But go ahead.
Yeah, you got to remember, it'll still happen. I think it's twice out of every 4 years. But
right, it'll happen every other year.
And then I believe they're also going to reevaluate these in 4 years.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yes, but the order, I'm not sure on how they list them, but we thought Bama and Vandy were locks for Tennessee. It's just a matter of Kentucky. And as you said, Kentucky's got to play somebody.
Correct.
And, yeah, they're with Tennessee here, which is fine. I mean,
so for Texas does reignite good old-fashioned Southwest Conference. They will have Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Oklahoma.
As predicted.
Felt like the easiest one to do the math on. For Texas A&M, they will have LSU, Missouri, and Texas. And then Vandy will have Auburn, Tennessee, Mississippi State.
So those are the annual opponents officially going to be announced tomorrow.
Tomorrow on, I believe, ESPN2 in addition to the SEC Network.
Some interesting. Some of these teams have the matching exact same. So exact same opponents. Arkansas and A&M both have the exact same three. Missouri, Texas, and LSU. And then you look at Bama and Vanderbilt.
Wait, who else has Missouri, Texas, and LSU?
Hold on, let me get back up here. The
A&M. Yeah, A&M and Arkansas have the same.
Yeah,
and then, I didn't even notice that.
And then you've got the same for, is it Alabama and Vandy have the same. Alabama and Vandy have the
same.
Yeah,
the same three.
Auburn, Tennessee, and State as their three opponents. Which is, you know, I guess, going to happen in these ways, but it is interesting that's how it played out there. I don't see the biggest is trying to figure out that Tennessee just got lucky; they got Kentucky. I could those three teams just seem like somebody from like a TV office made those more like in a different way. Somebody who's not necessarily familiar with something. Said, oh, Kentucky is touching. It's very much a geography decision, as you said.
Yeah,
Kentucky is right here. They're very close. The game, I mean, they are very close to each other. So they're going to play each other. But
it definitely felt to me like geography matters more. But then you also have to remember, there's six other games. Like,
it's not their whole schedule.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get worked up with, they think from the old school brain of divisions and then whoever got the easiest permanent opponent. But that's just not what's going to happen. You're going to be shuffled up with six other games. I just find it really hard to believe. Like, I think the schedule next year will be much more balanced top to bottom from the league than this year's has.
Well, so Tennessee won, right? We would say Tennessee won because they got Vanderbilt. I don't think anybody should have Vanderbilt and Kentucky. I'm sorry. I know some years they're one or the other does all right, but like you shouldn't have them both. Is there a hard one? That's why Tennessee's got the easiest. Is there somebody who's looking at, oh gosh, this is a,
I mean, if you're talking about brands, Ole Miss didn't exactly nail it. LSU's been a national champion multiple times.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's won a BCS national championship. And then you have an in-state rival.
But I mean, you look at Mississippi State, like right now, if you're Mississippi State, you don't want to be playing Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and Alabama every year. Those three teams, you don't want to play them every year. But you do. I mean, obviously, you want to play Ole Miss every year. But as far as quality teams, those are three quality teams at the current moment.
I mean, Auburn kind of gets screwed because their two biggest rivals are been the two programs, the two best programs in the league for the last.
But then they get Vanderbilt, right? So that's fair. That's fair.
You could say that for Oklahoma. I mean, if we're looking at recency, Missouri has been really good lately. Same with Ole Miss, and then Texas being the big rivalry.
I just think,
I don't know who got the hardest.
I think everybody's going to – the harder your three annual opponents are, the softer the rest of your schedule
is. Right, because you're going to be playing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's still going to be sorted out. And I just – the biggest thing for me is I think starting next year, we won't have this gross imbalance of schedule where you go and you look at Florida's schedule this year and then you look at Missouri's schedule this year. You look at Florida's schedule and you look at Oklahoma's schedule. Or you look at Ole Miss's schedule and you look at Oklahoma's schedule. Like, I don't think we're going to have this heavily skewed to one team advantage. Everyone's always going to have – someone's going to have a slightly better schedule than the other, but I don't think it's going to be as unweighted as it is now.
The only one that comes – But the Tennessee one, Jeffrey, you got to admit, the Tennessee one comes across as this is a little extra easy for Tennessee if you play Kentucky and Vanderbilt every year.
Yeah, but that means their pot of the remaining six are going to be much bigger teams.
Yeah, right. They could end up with a schedule where they see Georgia, LSU, Alabama all in the same year.
Right.
And Texas. Yeah,
that's life in the SEC.
Anything else stand out from the annual opponents list?
Not necessarily from this list, but I think what this and going to the 9-game schedule in conference, kind of having read the actual release from it last week, what I find interesting or will be interesting is going to be where these teams end up going for their P4 out of conference games, because they have to have at least one on the rest of their slate.
The two things that I'm most interested in are, as you said, the P4, how everybody tries to maneuver that schedule. And then there's going to be certain years you get 5 home games in league play versus certain years where you're going to get 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about this new format structure they figured out. I think it's going to work out well. So
the fewer Tennessee UAB games I'm forced to watch, the better.
That's fair.
That was awful. Adele. All right, Kevin, I consider you our Super Bowl halftime show correspondent.
Yes, I'm tracking this very closely. So
if you're having to bet today, is she going to be the Super Bowl halftime show?
Adele is leading the odds for the halftime show. However, there's another big name, which I would pick to do it over Adele if I was in charge. So just behind Adele, you have Miley Cyrus as a contender, but also surprisingly, Sabrina Carpenter, her name has come up on this show. We feel like she's just a few years away from headlining the Super Bowl, right? We don't feel like it's time for Sabrina yet, because I just don't think she has enough recognizable hits to do this. Miley Cyrus could do it. Adele.
Don't you? Okay.
The big story this weekend was Adele.
See if you agree with this standard. To be considered a halftime act, because you're going for basically the broadest, widest audience of all.
Yes.
I think you probably need to either have done a Vegas residency or be on the cusp of Vegas residency. While I can acknowledge Sabrina Carpenter's a mega star, she's not close to her stay at the Caesars.
Well, I mean, you could say that could be a thing to look at, right? But also, like, Adele goes against a lot, but is kind of goes against a lot of conventional wisdom when it comes to booking the Super Bowl, because she's not a performer, right? She comes out and pretty much just sings. She performs. She's not like
her voice.
She performs amazing voice and a very, very talented and has a lot of doing music bingo. George can attest to this. You know, we're having music bingo tonight and at Cafe Eclectic in Midtown, but we're everywhere doing music bingo. Like, Adele songs, come on, people know them. They know the Adele songs and they sing along to them. So she could put on last year's Super Bowl halftime was a different approach than we're used to. Could an Adele one be different? I don't think it's going to be a memorable all-time great, but she personally has enough songs and a great presence where her being selected would be fine for this performance. I think she would be she's on the list for a reason.
Isn't she married to Rich Paul too? Maybe they're engaged. Somehow this is all LeBron's fault.
I think you're, I remember seeing their sports agent Rich Paul.
They're
in this article, they're pictured together here at a Lakers game. So I don't know if they're married, but they are definitely together. But Adele, anyway, so I was watching, I think it was the Tiger game. We're watching some game on the weekend when that story popped through my timeline that there has been conversations about Adele, that she has quickly become the front runner, which has taken over, which means the Taylor Swift thing does not seem to be happening. There's a lot of the momentum is shifting away from that. And now we're looking at an Adele.
Does the momentum shifting away from that make your spidey sense go off more about the is Taylor pregnant rumors?
I know you or keep
the
stirring
Swifties.
Those up,
no, this is the Swifties, not me.
I know, but you keep bringing this one up. The Swifties think, I don't think she's pregnant. No, but
it just feels like there was a lot of momentum and then the momentum was stunted.
I don't know if she's just not interested. We know historically she's not interested because of the monetary structure? And are they changing it for her or not on what they're going to do? With, are they going to pay her or not pay her? Or how she would she be compensated for performing at the halftime of the Super Bowl? Did they not reach an agreement on that? She is very distracted, obviously, with her album coming out and the news dropping last week that the movie, they're going to have that movie. It's going to be in movie theaters that weekend. So, you know, she's very strategic on the rollouts. Could she be pushing it, the can down the line and still giving them an undecided decision? The big news of the weekend is that Adele has been approached, and we are well past now at this point, Jeffrey, the timeline that we usually have an announcement. So we usually have an announcement. We could have one by this time next week. And so if the momentum is on your side at any point in this, then that's a positive because the announcement could be the next day. So we're Adele could be it.
I think I'd rather have Miley.
I would rather have Miley for sure. I think
Adele's an unbelievable talent. I don't sit there and go, that song's a banger.
I mean, that's why her music goes against what you would think, and the style of music. Everybody enjoys it. It would be a fine Super Bowl halftime show. I think she could do something different. I'm sure she could come up with something. But like Miley's going to bring a show,
yeah,
and bring the entertainment, and she's no up there. And Sabrina will as well. I believe Sabrina Carpenter. Give her 3 years, 4 years, and then I think she could do an awesome halftime show. But I don't know if it's time for her yet.
Yeah, it feels like she's like one to watch, if you will. Put her on the watch list.
But Drake doesn't seem to be
not interested
be interested. But the conversation's happening. They've approached Adele before. Other names that they still say are in the mix as far as betting goes, like Oasis, Metallica.
I don't see any way Oasis is going to do it.
Ariana Grande still involved, Jay-Z, what?
Oasis has already hit the over
we can't believe they actually made it. They're going to make it to October without breaking up.
we set like, that over under a long time ago now.
Like, they're even saying nice things about each other, like when Liam will go and do like radio interviews or Noel do like radio interviews, like they will be complimentary of one another. It's like, I don't need this out of y'all.
Right. Oh, hold on. I did skip over Post Malone, who's up there with just as high a odds, plus 800, along with Sabrina Carpenter. So Post Malone's still hanging near the top. I would be thinking he would do great because I do think he would have a lot of great cameos of people popping up. He's friends with everybody of every genre of music. So Post Malone.
Metallica
is a big
would be
star.
The San Francisco element.
But it's leaning. Things are leaning towards Adele.
I feel like that's going to be just a fabulous, like, six. Yeah. Right. It's like, okay, it wasn't bad, but like nothing about it. I was like, oh, that was great. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally.
Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
CJ Hurd is a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on The Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd. Also, make sure you're following the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter on X at ConRadicalness. CJ, what was the biggest win of the weekend?
Biggest win of the weekend. It's hard for it not to be Memphis over Arkansas, isn't it? That's a team in Memphis that is trying to cement itself as a legit representative out of the non-power conferences, out of the group of whatever it is now. As far as playoff chances go, you got to be the highest ranked member and you got to be a conference champion. There were a lot of good wins this weekend. Texas Tech and Utah immediately come to mind. Miami dismantling Florida the way that they did. But the thing is, those teams can get into the playoffs without losing.
Yep.
Memphis has to win their conference. And again, they have to be the highest ranked non-power team who's won their conference. So that means they have to be higher, not just win their conference, but be higher ranked than a team like Boise and higher ranked than, I don't know, Liberty and some of these other teams out there in the non-power conferences. That win against Arkansas, I think, helps to ensure that they will, assuming they go out there and take care of business.
No, I'm with you, because even though Memphis could still have had the playoff path without Arkansas, like if they would have lost the game, they win the league, they could. But it felt like they changed the circumstances and the narrative around them the most this weekend, because ESPN spends the whole broadcast talking about they're now the G6 favorite. Then you have Tulane losing to Ole Miss in blowout fashion. And so it's like now the path is there and now it's up to them, because they truly do control their own destiny. I think it's as simple as this now. It's like if they win out, they are going to be in the playoff. Like, they probably have at least a little bit of wiggle room, because I think the American champion is going to have the leg up. But it's now as simple as, like, you don't even have to leave it up to the judges. You do control everything. And I don't think
that win the conference, right. The conference, not necessarily win out, but win the conference.
Right. They have to. That's the same thing.
Like win your conference, and Memphis could have gone out there and lost. Let's say they had lost to Arkansas. So that's one loss. And then let's say they got Navy, they got Tulane,
yep.
They got South Florida, right? So let's say they lose one of those games. So now you're sitting there at 10-2, and then you beat a good North Texas team in a conference championship situation. You'd be the champion of the American. For comparison's sake, let's make it South Florida that they lose to. They lose to South Florida, so they're at 10-2, we lost to South Florida and Arkansas, American champion. That's not too bad. Boise State goes on, and they are 11-1 with the loss to South Florida. I can't remember if Boise has lost again, but
no. Then that would also include, in your scenario, they would now have a win over Notre Dame. So now that starts to play into
now. No matter what, Boise State would not. No matter what, but now more than likely, Boise State would end up in the DCFP, right? And I think even with a win over Notre Dame now, that South Florida loss was so bad. And Michigan's win over Arkansas is good enough for them to be able to say, hey, we got a power conference win as well. And that Notre Dame win for Boise, if it happens, just fictitiously speaking, if it happens, that would then give Notre Dame three losses. So now we'll be looking around talking about, hey, how good is Notre Dame really? Memphis can say, hey, we got a win over Arkansas. Sure, Boise's got a win over South Florida. But we should be the ones to represent the group of six.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It felt like they changed the circumstances. Do you feel different about Michigan after Saturday?
No, different? I mean, not say no immediately. Different how so?
Do you think that, because I felt like you kind of thought, hey, probably it's all for next year. Are you thinking now that the playoffs very much in focus and that it's a possibility after Saturday?
No. A good season is in play, and a good season has always been in play for this Michigan Wolverines team. When you think about how well that defense is playing, particularly the defensive line, last year that unit wasn't the best, particularly when their two first-round draft picks went out of the game. Now that there's true depth at that group, and we saw them wreak havoc on Nebraska last week, the entirety of the game. And I thought they did a good job with Oklahoma and Mateer as well. And the players being suspended, they had a safety that was suspended for targeting in that contest. And so they could have been a bit better with their starting safety, but that's neither here nor there. And that defense has been really good all season, and that run game is elite. And so a good season is still in play. And a good season, 9-3, 10-2. And if that means playoff for Michigan, that means playoff for Michigan. When they play teams who can handle that defensive front throw and teams that can force them to throw the football, I don't know if Michigan has enough to get over those types of humps. So at 10-2, 9-3, any team in the Big Ten is playoff bound, it seems like. It'll be very hard to keep a 9-3, 10-2 Big Ten team out of the playoffs. It's just at a certain point, when you play the way that Michigan plays, you're leaving a lot to one possession, and one moment or two moments, a handful of moments, deciding not a game, but games, plural. So you you beat Nebraska at home in a close contest. You keep playing close contests, eventually somebody will jump up and bite you. And so I think Michigan is still in play for, like I said, 9-3, 10-2. I'm not sure. I'm not thinking playoffs yet. I'm just thinking beat the next team on the schedule, baby.
What else stood out to you from this weekend?
Oh, so I was in Vegas, and I was at a place called Stadium Swim.
Oh, yeah, the circuit, baby.
Yeah, it's on the commercials here all the time. Yeah.
It was incredible, let me tell you people. Holy hell. You're in the pool, you're drinking, you're watching all of the games. So, like, that was an incredible experience. If you can't be at the game, that's the next best thing, is being there. And so it was incredible watching.
It might be nicer from
games,
I mean,
on the TV.
It's hot at the game.
I'll say this. It's one of the few things in Vegas that my wife and I both is what she loved it. I loved it. And there's very few things. Like, normally you'll find something maybe you like, something that she likes, and you're like compromising. This is one that everyone had a great time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I say all of that to say I was watching Memphis and Arkansas. And to your point, Kevin, I would have rather been in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium for that game. Unfortunately, I couldn't. So I was watching all of the games from Stadium Swim. And I kept watching. One of the games that was on was Wisconsin-Maryland. And I am flabbergasted, flummoxed, confused at how quickly Wisconsin got bad at football. Fickell is not doing a good job up there. That is one of the worst coaching jobs of the season so far. So Wisconsin struggles stood out to me. I glance up at one point, and Tulsa is running around on the field after knocking off Oklahoma State.
Yep.
So now it's like, holy heck, what's going on there? So that game stood out to me as well. And then I think the big one for most people, if you had to ask them one of their big takeaways from the weekend, I think the big one for most people would have been Clemson falling to Syracuse. And it looks like the game has passed coaches who have been successful. So Dabo Swinney has been really, really successful for a long period of time. It looks like it's passed him and it's passed Gundy by. And their quest to not really hit the transfer portal as hard as other teams decided to hit it early on in the existence of the transfer portal and all of that sort of stuff that goes on. Or all that stuff that they've said before their battle. Two of the more vocal coaches against name, image, and likeness, I feel like, were Swinney and Gundy as well. So the game is changing, and it doesn't seem like they've changed enough with it from an acquisition of talent standpoint. And their teams, last year, Gundy and Oklahoma State looked bad. They continue to look bad this season. And Clemson, while it wasn't a typical Clemson year, they still won the ACC. and made it to the CFP. So we'll see if this is just a blip or if this is a sign of things to come for Clemson. I think this is what Oklahoma State is now. Now the question is, what do you do with Gundy, somebody who's had a lot of success? And by success, not Big Ten championships, not Big Ten,
Big 12
championships. Yeah. I'm talking about wins. Like, he's got a lot of wins at a program that, if you take Gundy away, does not have a ton of wins. You take Gundy away from Oklahoma State, they look a whole lot like Vanderbilt when you compare and contrast them to their power conference peers. Gundy comes in, he has a whole bunch of wins. It's a lot like what Snyder meant to Kansas State. The question now becomes, can you as Oklahoma State just walk away from him? He's got a big buyout. I think it's $15 million for the buyout. But what do you end up doing with him if this season continues down this road, this trajectory? One of your legendary coaches who, unlike other legendary coaches, isn't super old. Right. When Bobby Bowden had his struggles, he was old. When Joe Pa had his struggles, he was old. Gundy still, from the looks of things, got 10 years left in him. But right now is not looking good for them people out there in Oklahoma State.
All right, CJ, it's there was a big game at Simmons Bank last weekend. I know there's a big one this weekend, even though it doesn't look the same. So for the first time since 1994, Jackson State or Tennessee State will not be competing in the Southern Heritage Classic. It's a new matchup. We need your analysis on this. What can you tell us about the new-look Southern Heritage Classic coming up this weekend?
Kevin, you know all the HBCUs. You know who's in the Classic. You know it's all corn. Please say all corn, always all corn state, taking on Arkansas Pine Bluff. And what will be, I do believe, the first time ever in the Classic, a conference matchup. So what ends up happening, for those of you who don't know, Jackson State backs out, Tennessee State backs out of the Classic. Arkansas Pine Bluff still wants to participate in it, and kudos to Fred Jones keeping them in and then finding a way to get them to move a home game. So this is supposed to be an Arkansas Pine Bluff home game that they've ended up moving to Memphis to play a game against Alcorn State, and that's great. We get the parade still, and that's what I'm excited about because I live right off the parade route. I chose my house so I could be out there, out front and center for the Southern Heritage Classic Parade, and this is a matchup of two teams in the SWAC West, who need to get wins, who are desperate to find ways to get wins. That division, I know Grambling State is playing really well right now. There's some thought that Prairie View A&M, those two teams face off this week, will also have something to say about the SWAC West. But these two teams right here, even though they weren't picked to finish in the top half of the division, they are still in it, to with a chance to win that division and then get to a SWAC championship game. And then once you get to a SWAC championship game, you win that, you get to go to Atlanta, play in the Celebration Bowl and compete for the Black College Football National Championship game. So this game, while it's not the sexiest game that the Classic has had, this isn't Coach Prime and Eddie George. This may be the most important Southern Heritage Classic that has been played by the two teams on the opposite sides of the field, because it matters so much in the conference standings. And I look forward to seeing these two teams face off.
Who is the class of the SWAC right now?
Class of the SWAC right now, most people will tell you Jackson State. Jackson State, I think they've made the official switch at the quarterback position. They had the reigning National Black College Football Player of the Year. They lost the reigning Black College Football Player of the Year to the NFL draft, but they had the returning quarterback, Morgan, who ended up being the Celebration Bowl MVP. They bring in a stud transfer from Mississippi Valley State out at the wide receiver position. He led the SWAC in receiving yards a year ago. They bring back their star receiver in Fortillion. They have some weapons on the outside, but the weapons on the outside just weren't shining through the first couple of weeks of the season. They made a quarterback change against Tuskegee, and they dominated through the air. So most in that defense is still stellar. Most people will tell you Jackson State. I will tell you Alabama State. Alabama State, led by Andrew Boddy, tremendous quarterback, transferred from Auburn to Texas Southern maybe 3 or 4 years ago and then transferred from there to Alabama State. He missed all of last season after being injured the first drive of the first game. He's back at the quarterback position, and boy, he's so good. He's so dynamic, can get you both with his legs and his arms. And Alabama State almost beat UAB in the
They had him down double digits.
Yes, almost beat them, and he's a large part of the reason why. And listen, one thing that Coach Robinson is going to have, he's going to have a tremendous defense, and defensively they are still really, really good, damn near elite at the FCS level. So I will tell you Alabama State. Most will tell you Jackson State and a dark horse to keep an eye on. Alabama A&M is sitting right there just behind those two in my official rankings of the good teams in the SWAC.
Is this the first year that Tennessee State has not participated in this game ever? Or it seems to go way back. I know that we have not had.
It goes to the 90s.
Yeah,
so 1990 it first started. And I think that there was 1 year, I'm trying to remember who the teams were. Everything in me wants to say was Southern and Grambling. No, not Southern and Grambling. It was Grambling and somebody else who played in the Southern Heritage.
Grambling is the last team to win that was not Jackson State or Tennessee State back in 1993. So I got the list of winners in front of me. So 93 was the last time a team that was not Jackson State or Tennessee State won, but it feels like it might be the first time ever that neither one of the two teams are participating in some capacity. Which
I do think it is the first time ever. I think I'd have to double check that.
Is this the matchup we expect to see next year, or is this going to be a new tradition, or have no idea?
As of now, I think this is the game moving forward. I think it'll be Fred Jones and the Classic trying to find a team in the SWAC to move one of their conference home games up to Memphis for a matchup. That's why I think now, will it be Arkansas Pine Bluff? I can't say that for certain, although I think that they signed like a 2-year contract or a 3-year contract with the Classic. But I can't say for sure. Other schools in the area, Mississippi Valley State isn't too far either. So it could be a thing where the Southern Heritage Classic partners with one of the SWAC schools near here and gets them to move one of their games up here for the one of their home games, up here for the Classic. Now, anything can happen. Things can change. Jackson State just had so many neutral site games at one point in time that having another one didn't make a whole lot of sense for them. Plus, when they play home games, they routinely lead the FCS in attendance. So when they play home games at the Vet in Jackson, Mississippi, they get 50, 60,000 people in attendance. So they didn't want to give that up. And Tennessee State wanted to play a bit more challenging of an opponent. They didn't want to play Arkansas Pine Bluff. I think they felt like playing Arkansas Pine Bluff, even if they won, and even if they won their conference, they would be punished from a seeding standpoint when time came for the FCS playoffs, and they'd end up, like we saw last year, going on the road to a program like North Dakota State and just being completely overwhelmed. I hope that it'll get back to Jackson State and Tennessee State, but in the meantime, in between time, I'm really excited to see Alcorn State and UAPB get together and play some football.
All right, my man, we appreciate you.
All right, y'all, I'll holler.
That is, of course, CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. You can see him each and every weekday on the Jessica Vincent Show with CJ Hurt. I think, is it about that time? All right, boys.
That HBCU Puddle podcast. You can tell he's very passionate about
the man,
that.
The man knows his HBCUs.
Yeah.
And particularly HBCU football.
Yes.
For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. You guys will never you'll never guess why Auburn struggled running the football. It was not the play calling.
What do you have for us?
We were struggling to get pushed with the twist game, but there were more runs called, and Jackson threw the ball with the RPO, which is a big part of who we are. It just wasn't that type of night. We've got to get our run game going again now. The runs were called.
Sounds more like RPOs were called.
That sounds exactly like RPOs were indeed called. I want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.